This morning we will be looking, as we have the last few weeks, at two passages of Scripture, one from the Gospel Christmas stories and today one from the the Epistle of 1 John. We'll be in chapter 1 of Matthew and begin in chapter 4 of 1 John. This is the fourth week of Advent, the fourth week of this Advent conspiracy, this road we've taken through Advent this year, which I have greatly enjoyed, and not only because of what we've talked about having to do with Christmas, but something I see as settling into the very foundation of our church. And the first week we talked about worshiping fully, and the second week about spending less, last week about giving more, and today, and I've been very anxious to come and talk to you about this morning, loving all. Think how big that three-letter word is, all. Loving all. And so as we move into this morning, we're going to try to discover a little bit about what that means and what Christmas has to do with that and what that has to do with Christmas, that idea of loving all. And Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, I do ask for a movement of your Holy Spirit into this place, that you would teach us, especially about love, about expressing love, acting love, your love shown through us. What a tremendous thing that is. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It's going to open with a very familiar part of that gospel story, again from Matthew 1. I'm going to pick up with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because her husband was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now turning over to 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Could keep going, but I think I'll just stop there. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. One of the reasons that we love people is so that people can see God. Notice it says that no one has seen God, but God made his love complete in who? In us. So that we might present to the world the love of God. And this tells us that God showed love by sending his Son into the world. And I want to talk about that just for a moment. What were the people like that God decided to show love to in that way when he sent his Son? First, to briefly define the word love, which I have to say briefly because we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks talking about what love is, but love, as we're speaking about it here, has to do with how we act. Biblical love expressed is always how someone showed God to someone else or how God showed his love to us. Biblical love is always about what we do. And there's that whole thing about, you know, the Greeks, and the New Testament was written in Greek, had five different words for love, and they broke it down into different types of love for different kinds of people, for family and for your spouse and all that kind of stuff. And we have one word, and the danger in that is that we apply the same word to chocolate cake and a football team as we do to what God did for us when he sent his son into the world. And I'm not proposing that we add new words to the dictionary, but I am proposing that we look at what he did, and it's way different than that other stuff when God loved us. And so God, did he look down at the world and say, the time's right, they finally got their act together. There aren't people out in the margins. There aren't people pushing other people out into the margins. There's no evil left in the world. Now I can send Jesus into the world. Now they've got it together. No, God looked down into a world where people like the shepherds who got the first announcement were outcast. They were those who were out in the margins of society. And they got the first good news. He went to a world that had people out there. And he went to a world that pushed people out. That said, because you do this or look like this, you don't belong with the rest of us. Those are the kind of people that God went to. God went to people who would travel a long distance to come and worship his son. And God sent his son to kings who would kill innocent children to keep their position. The world was as much a mess then as it is now, and God sent his son, showing his love by sending his son to those kind of people. So church, if we're to show the love of God, who do we show the love of God to? We show the love of God to people who live out in the margins of society. And we show the love of God to people who push people out into the margins of society. We love people who will come and worship our King. And we love people who would do anything to keep the name of Jesus squashed down, hidden. If we're going to love like God loves, if we're going to love, and it says here, he made his love complete in us. If we're to love that way, then we've got to love the same people that God loves. We have to look at Christmas and say, God sent his son into that world. And we have the shiny side of Christmas, and I love it. And I love the shepherds and the angels singing. And I love the image, whenever it happened, of the wise men traveling across the desert to bring these treasures. I love those images. But we can't forget that it was an evil, sinful world. And the answer came in that child. Love came at Christmas and never left. Peace came at Christmas and never left. You see, there had been a long period of time when it appeared that the presence of God had been removed. No one had heard anything from God. But since Jesus came, the presence of God has been a very real and available source to us. Because when Jesus ascended very shortly after, the Holy Spirit was sent. And no, we don't have it in us to love people that we don't like. but the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit is available to us. This love was given to us. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives us. If we love one another, then people can see God. Very convicted reading this passage this week, because if I were to put it into one sentence, one phrase, one little nutshell, what this passage says to me is this: the person that I love the least reflects my relationship with God. If as complete as God's love can be in me is shown to the person that I love the least, that is a reflection of my relationship with God. That hurts a little. So I know personally I need to open up a little. I need to keep singing that song in my head, "Love Came Down at Christmas." I don't have to worry about my own store of love. The love of heaven is available. I just need to let it in and then let it out. I don't need to fix it. I just need to let God in. I need to remember it's not about if I like someone or I like what they do or I agree with their lifestyle or if I agree with their politics. There may be things that God wants them to change, but God is sending me to love them. The wise men came to Herod. Herod made a decision. But they came and told Herod that Jesus was there. Herod made a bad choice. The angel came and they told the shepherds. The shepherds made a good choice. They went to where they were told, and some responded and some didn't. So we can't choose ahead of time what we think someone's response will be. We just have to show them the love of Jesus. We just have to show them the love of Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. You know that I very much believe in discipleship. And as we bring people along, we want to reflect upon them that God would have them change as He would have us change and continue to change. We want that to happen. It's important that we show people the truth of Scripture. That's vital. That's important. But God led with love, and we need to lead with love. It was completely and utterly unexpected the way God chose to love the world. I don't think any writer anywhere would ever have scripted for it to happen this way. But this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. So here's where we are. We live in a real world among real people. There's people we're naturally attracted to. There's people that we're kind of repelled away from. There's people we like and people we don't like. And left to our own devices, that's who we would be around. That's who we would choose not to be around. That's who we would respond to or not respond to, reach out to or not reach out to. But this is love, that God sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. So we need to look back at that Christmas story, and who did Jesus come to? And you can stop right there, or you can continue to read that He came of course, first to the nation of Israel, but then to the rest of the world. And that's where the church went, right? Because we're the body of Christ and we were sent out to go out into which parts of the world? All the world. All the world. That's not just geographic. You know, that's not just to make sure we touch base in every country. But every person, every kind of person, all the world is about all the people. And this is how God showed his love. And people can see that if we love one another. And we do that through Jesus, living through him, because we don't have it in ourselves as real people in a real world. We don't have it in ourselves to do the right thing. We don't have enough love inside us. We don't have that kind of storage inside us. But we have available to us an unending supply of love. A heavenly supply. A godly supply. A God full supply of love that never runs out. We've been talking about focusing on Christ in Christmas. But it doesn't end here. It ends in us daily focusing on Christ, living through him, so that when we look at somebody, we look at them through Jesus. We look at them with the eyes of Jesus the best we can. If we can't do it, then we fall on our knees and ask God for that ability to see someone as God sees them. And we don't worry about whether we like them or not. We just worry about whether we love them or not. I said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, that I'm very glad that God didn't wait until he could like me before he loved me. And I'm glad he didn't wait till he could like the world before he sent his son in to show love to the world. Because we would still be waiting for that road to the cross. But there is good news. Jesus did come. Jesus did come. The thing that we celebrate was Jesus coming into the world and bringing an unending supply of love. So when you feel unloving, and you will, go back to the storehouse of love. Go back to the supplier of love. Go back to the one that is love. He's not running out. And he's always there. And he'll supply you with more than you could ever think that you have or that you could have. Unending, boundless. For God so, I love that, so loved the world. So much. We can't get our arms around it, right? He loves us so much that he sent his only son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And his son came into the world. We celebrate that. That's why we do Christmas. And we also know that we are the body of Christ. That is an unending story. The Christmas story is unending. While we wait for Jesus to return, we live as Jesus in this world, powered by his Holy Spirit, showing love. Showing love. So if you've not finished your Christmas shopping yet, and I say this, and it may sound like I'm trying to be cute or funny, and it may draw a laugh, but I'm serious. You're going to walk into places tomorrow and the next day where there's a lot of opportunities to show the love of Christ. As the compression comes, you know, as the pressure sets in, and we've been talking about not letting that affect us, and some of us have been meeting on Sunday evenings, I've talked about that with a little more depth, but you have an opportunity to show the love of Christ in a heightened way, in many more opportunities Take a moment and speak to the clerk. Ask them how they're doing. Tell them Jesus loves them. It's okay. It's okay. It doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter what they're allowed to say. Remember, the story of Christ is not Walmart's story. It's not the mall's story. It's not Amazon's story. It's our story. It's our story to tell. So go tell it on a mountain. Go tell it at the mall. But go tell it that Jesus Christ is born. Amen.